Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
The Athletic brings you every sports story that matters, now for just $1 per month. Of course, I'm a hockey fan, so of course I love reading the national perspectives of Pierre LeBrun and Scotty Burnside. Of course I love the eternal optimism of hockey prospects, so the great Corey Pronman brings us that. But I also love my Cleveland Browns. Zach Jackson, Jason Lloyd are my lifelines now that it's NFL season, and I feel like Joe Posnanski's Monday morning perspective. There are a lot of days where I need that. I also love really, really important journalism from such great writers as Katie Strang, Nicole Auerbach, Dan Robson, and others. Don't miss this exclusive, in-depth, and unprecedented coverage. Subscribe now and save. Sign up now to see for yourself the creativity, the reporting, and the storytelling that sets The Athletic apart. And if you go to theathletic.com/frontandnationwide, you can receive an all-access subscription for just $1 per month. Sports are back, and you don't want to miss breaking stories on your favorite teams. So go to theathletic.com/frontandnationwide and receive an all-access subscription for $1 a month.
Hello and welcome to Front and Nationwide. This is The Athletic's dedicated Blue Jackets podcast. Aaron Portzine with you. Allison Lucan is here.
Hello.
Allison, it is September 17th.
Normally,
training camp would be 2 days deep right now. It'd be starting today or tomorrow.
We'd still be in Traverse this week.
This week. We would be home Wednesday, though. And this is now Thursday. Time is weird.
Yeah.
Flying.
Yeah. Time is an irrelevant concept. It hasn't been.
Yeah. Today would have been media day or what have you. Tomorrow may have been the start of camp. It'd be a preseason game Saturday. And yet what's sort of starting to percolate now for a lot of these teams is the NHL draft, which is just 3 weeks away. Yeah, it's going to be the October draft this year. How weird is all of this? But here it goes. So one of the things we're trying to get accomplished in this season is to celebrate the 20th year of the Blue Jackets. And I kind of feel for the team, to be honest with you, because who knows when this thing's going to start? Who knows if they'll be able to bring back players through from previous year's teams? Who knows if they can have fans in the building? You wonder what kind of 20th year celebration this can be. But many, many things, and you've seen a couple stories already. We teamed up with Michael Russo to talk about the expansion draft 20 years after the fact, the first draft how pivotal a silly coin flip was, how goofy that coin flip was, falling off the table and having to be redone. Oops. But so we thought this week we would go in, and we had a story published yesterday ranking the Blue Jackets 20 drafts. They have drafted 20 times, of course. They're going into their 20th season, but they had a draft in advance of their first season. And so we wanted to go. People are responding to it quite a bit, the story that was posted yesterday. And it is an interesting story. Drafts are so fun anyways, especially in hindsight, especially when you're not the one picking. Allison, your thoughts on the 20 ranked drafts, and was there anything in there? We'll go through a few of them here. Was there anything in there that made you go, what is he talking about?
We'll wait as we go through. We'll see. These things percolate.
Okay.
These things percolate as we go. Yeah, I will point out that, and we'll get to this, I know, but as egregious as we can look at, now I'm getting my years all screwed up here because there's so many. Egregious as 2013 might feel.
Yeah.
There's the evolution of that into Saad, which becomes Panarin.
For sure.
So yeah. I thought that was
it. And my thought was at some point you have to limit this to just players you picked, right? And I think we mentioned that Dano became part of the Saad. So you can roll some of these guys into, but yeah. And you know what? The other thing too that I think is important to keep in mind as we go through this, who's good at the NHL draft, Allison? Who's like awesome at it? Nobody.
Well, that's not true. Let's think about this.
Nobody's awesome. Go back and look at even the best teams. You go, oh my God, really? It's hard.
Well, it's hard, sure, but there's okay. Flip of the coin. There are some teams that are objectively bad at it.
Yes, but I think the gap. You're right, and then Detroit went through a stretch where they were pulling guys out of the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth round, where you went, whoa. 5 years later. But it is a tricky, tricky business. Now, some of these drafts by the Blue Jackets, you go, okay, no excuse for that. None.
Right.
2004. Let's just start with this one.
Let's go.
2004, it's a bad draft. It's a bad draft, period. I don't just mean by the Blue Jackets. It's a bad field of players. They made 12 picks. None of them played 100 games for the Blue Jackets.
But there was a great nickname that came out of that, or a catchphrase, I guess we should say. I mean, really.
Yeah, go ahead.
Get some, clit some.
Yes. And if I may tell a story that's a little off color, you know the story. Should I?
Please.
Okay.
Please.
So this is 04, and technology then wasn't what it was. Grant Clitson, by the way, was the Blue Jackets draft pick.
A delightful guy. Very nice.
He was, and a pretty damn good player at times. 271 overall, ninth round pick. So they don't even have nine rounds anymore. So it used to go on a lot longer than it does now. But you would walk up to a league employee at a computer. You would say, this is the player I'm going to pick. She would write the name down if it was a difficult name. Type the name into essentially the central registry and make sure that this was a legal player to be drafted.
Okay.
And then if it was, you would get the green light, and then they would say, Columbus, go ahead. And Columbus would say, with the 271st overall pick, the Blue Jackets select Grant Clitson. Anyways, he writes the name down and hands it, a head scout for the Blue Jackets writes the name down and hands it to the NHL employee, a lovely woman. And she looks at it and she says, thinks he's joking around, playing a joke on her. I don't even want to say his name, but she says, oh, how dare you? And he says, no, that's really his name. That's his name. Like, really? Anyways, it's a goofy name. The nickname I like that's actually really clever, that it was given by a member of the press and stuck, is Red Stripe. Because if you've ever had a Red Stripe beer, I hope you've had one in Jamaica, it's about 4 inches high and about 8 inches around.
Amazing.
It's stubby, and so was Grant Clitson. Anyways, the Blue Jackets in 04, this is in my mind their worst draft. They traded down from number 4 to number 8. They picked up a second round pick, number 56. Normal years, you'd say, that's pretty good. Although to go from 4 to 8, I may want more than number 56. But anyways, that's a terrible trade in this draft because it's a bad draft, and most teams seem to know it was a bad draft at the time. The Blue Jackets trade out of a spot where they could have taken, hope you're sitting down, Andrew Ladd or Blake Wheeler, who, by the way, is still a hell of a player.
Yes.
And they ended up taking Alexander Pickard. Pickard played 67 NHL games, had 0 goals. He may have 2 points. And again, 12 picks, none of them played 100 games for the Blue Jackets. Clitson played 93 for the Blue Jackets. You know, not that they could have taken Malkin or Ovechkin, and not that they were even in the same division as those two teams, Pittsburgh and Washington, at the time. But that's who those teams got then. That's who those teams have still today. And I have no idea what Alexander Pickard is doing, and there's nobody left from that draft.
Well, you know.
Please console the Blue Jackets.
That's going to be the theme for like the first how many years as we go through here.
Yeah, as we go through here. And a memory, and not all of this was in the lingering memory section of this one, but a writer from the Hockey News was doing a story on how bad the draft was, how thin the talent pool was that year. And Doug McLean, former general manager of the Blue Jackets, former president of the Blue Jackets, he says he boasted. He liked to boast on occasion, Allison. And he put his hand in his belt loops, as he often did, and sort of leaned back and said, we have our third line left winger for the next 15 years. And the reporter says to him, not shitting on his comment or the pick, says, is that what it's come to, Doug, taking third liners in the first round? And what he meant was, that's what it's come to this year because the talent pool is low. That's not how Mr. Doug McLean took it. And what followed, this happened a few times. More than a few times at the draft, which should be a happy weekend for teams. He fucking erupted. Kaboom! Getting personal. How dare you, you son of a bitch. Blah, blah. It was quite the scene. Anyways, Alexander Pickard was a left line, or it was a third line left winger, but he peaked in Syracuse. And that's a rough one. We're going to go from top. We're going to go worst to best and work our way to the middle so that it doesn't just seem like an absolute bludgeoning here, because there is some good news here.
You should have asked Doug to come on the show. I'm sure he would love to discuss this.
It's been a while since
I think he's probably returned. Busy. Yeah,
it's been a while since he's returned a call. Now this was a tough one for me because there were a few picks. And the one that landed at number one is the 2015 draft. When they drafted from the same draft, Werenski, Gavrikov, and Nudavara.
Such a good draft. So sneaky. That's what makes it really good, too. It's
exactly.
Sneaky.
Exactly. And the draft is still being realized. Like, I don't think Kevin Stenlund's going to be a stud top six defenseman or centerman, but he looks like he can play at times. Mm-hmm. Gabriel Karlsson looked like he was lost the last couple of years. In this most recent year, apparently people in Cleveland said he took some major strides forward. So it's not out of the question that those two guys could elevate. But to get two top four defensemen, Werenski, first of all, to get Werenski at 8, hell of a pick. To get Werenski and Gavrikov, two of your top four, probably for the next several years, and to get Marcus Nudavara, for sure a third pair guy, there's a lot of teams that would love to get half of their defense in one draft.
No question. And fun fact, I think we've talked about this before, it is in part that pick that led to Zach Werenski wearing number 8 when he came to Columbus. He wore 13 at University of Michigan, which obviously was taken. And part of his switch logic was the draft pick that he was selected at. So there's your fun fact there.
How about that?
But no, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that makes an organization look good at drafting, is when you say, you know, no one was like, oh, you know, of course they got that guy. And then, like you said, however many years later, three just really, really solid. And I Nudavar has had an off year, like you said, but I still think he's quite good as well. And he's also in the mold of the new type of NHL defenseman. And that model wasn't realized at this time yet either. So quite prescient picks by the Blue Jackets.
Now, the one thing that made me consider bumping this one down to 2 is the fact that they traded up to get Gabriel Carlson. And he has been.
Oh, yeah, that was crazy.
He has not performed as you would want a first-round pick to perform. He was taken late in the first round.
Yes. 29. Remember, we all ran back there. We were like, what is going on?
Yeah, and I remember also thinking, well, he's listed 6'5". God, he looks like he's 6'8".
Yeah.
Because he was so thin. But the picks they gave up to move up to take Carlson, they traded 34 and 68. And again,
which he would have. Go ahead.
You can kill yourself doing this. But player available at 34, Sebastian Aho, the right one. A player available at 68, Anthony Cirelli, right? So,
And
no guarantee they take either of those guys. But
and one could suggest, I think the biggest frustration that night, what stunk is because it happened right at the end, it kind of left a sour taste in people's mouths who follow the team. And if you're picking him at 29, do you really think he's not going to be there at 34? Like, really? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I think the answer to that is yes, you don't think he's going to be there at 34.
Well, but
you,
come on.
You don't give that up.
I mean,
but yeah. I mean, they were obviously, I think this is a case where if you ask them now, I bet they had Gabriel Carlson much higher than 29th. Like much
sure,
higher.
But
probably top 15.
Yeah. I didn't see anyone agreeing with the move at the time is I guess my perspective.
And who knows if they take Aho 34. But, oh, my God. What a draft that would be. But so the 2015 draft happened about 6 months before they swung the Seth Jones trade. So you see the strength of this team now in Columbus. And certainly the Seth Jones trade, Ryan Johansson to Nashville straight up, was a huge part of it. But the 2015 draft, it doesn't happen without that either. This is example number one of how the draft for an organization like Columbus, you can't have those years where you take 12 guys, none of them play for your organization, or none of them are flipped for studs either. It's just devastating. And then you've gone an entire year. And this has been my beef. You go through all of these years, the seasons of suffering, as they did in the early years of the franchise, and you get nothing for it. It's all in vain because you botched the draft so badly. That's the stuff that just, and then it goes on and on. All right, back to the misery section of our conversation.
Okay.
Number 19, worst Blue Jackets drafts, ranking the Blue Jackets drafts, top 20. In 2005, let's just call this draft missing Kopitar. They mined four NHL players out of it. But really, they got one guy, Gilbert Brulé, who went on to play for some other teams, but was never the player they anticipated him being. Adam McQuaid, who refused to sign with the Blue Jackets. McLean was fired. McQuaid was traded actually by Jim Clark, who was working in Doug McLean's stead because Doug had been fired and Scott Housen had not been hired yet. And Chris Russell were all in it. It was an NHL player as well, but most of his games have been spent elsewhere as well. Mm-hmm. The one player they got out of that draft in 05, despite picking at sixth in each round, was Jared Bull, who became a fixture in Columbus, and this is no slight to him, played 579 games, franchise record for penalty minutes. But when you have this draft and you have the opportunity to draft some of the players that they had on the board, boy, that's just, oof, that's just hard to stomach. And Allison, tell us who they missed on above all else that could have transformed this organization. I've written about it so many times, I'm tired of
that. I know. Well, and like, as I look at this and I understand your evaluation criteria, this is the worst draft by them for me. Because here's why. So who they missed out on, and when I've been asked to write on, I've done things for other outlets before, like the top five best and top five worst, or whatever. This always is top of the list. They missed out on Kopitar, Jay Kopitar. And the thing that, so A, that makes this really bad, and B, and you hint at this, B, McLean overrides his scouts on the pick.
Cardinal sin.
Exactly. So that's, I would, we're splitting hairs here, but this I would rank at 20 because this was just horrifically bad GMing, horrifically bad draft list management. And then you look at who was there and everyone knew how good that player was then. And here we are.
Yes. I think the reason I gave it the edge over the 04 draft where no players really made it or developed into players is because they actually landed three longtime NHLers. Now, they didn't realize it, but the drafting itself, we're splitting hairs here. You can certainly make the argument. Hell, you can make the argument about the 03 draft, which is coming up on number 18 when we get back to that end of the draft. Because, oh my God, did they miss talent in that draft where everybody else got rich.
Well, exactly. I see why you made the decision you did. But for me, the organizational commentary in this and the talent they did get doesn't make up for just how awful the process and the pick was. Yes. And you've written on this before too. It's actually quite the Jackets have struggled to get into the upper echelon of the draft picks. Yes. Right? And so again, such a wasted opportunity. But this is 20 for me. This is 20.
Yeah. And if you can just close your eyes if you're a Blue Jackets fan and think of the centers that they milled around Nash to try to find him a center that could make it. I even put freaking Zhirdev there for a short time when Hitch was here. Like they could, and to be able to put Kopitar next to Nash, you go, oh, like, oh my God, that most likely would have been amazing.
Oh yeah.
Doug McLean's taking some bullets here. Here's one where the second best draft in franchise history, my opinion. And it's not so much, I mean, Rick Nash is a hell of a pick. I think, Allison, you and I could have made that pick, taking Rick Nash. It was that obvious back then how great a player he was. And the rest of the draft wasn't really that great for the Blue Jackets. I still have a soft spot for Ole Christian Tollefson, one of my favorite players I've ever covered. Joachim Lindstrom played most of his games elsewhere. And Lassie Pirietta was kind of a 13th forward of sorts for a couple of teams. But it's incredible now to realize that Doug McLean convinced two NHL general managers to allow him to move up from 3 to 1 basically for nothing.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And I always tell people this, like McLean and I had an interesting relationship. He had an interesting relationship with everybody he covered, but there's no, and I kind of like the guy. I honestly, genuinely like the guy. And there's part of him. And if you've ever been in his presence, he is so damn magnetic. He is. And that may sound weird, but he is dynamic. He is full of energy. He could sell you anything. I understand how a guy who was coaching a team in Florida, I get it. I get how McConnell fell for him and said, here's the everything, take my organization, which is incredible.
Right.
A guy goes from coach to that. Like, are you kidding me? But I get it because he was that damn persuasive. And this is his best work with the Blue Jackets, other than getting effing Stinger off the crest of the jersey. This is his best work. This is his best work. Thoughts?
Yes. You can't disagree. And when you look at, I mean, for many a year, Rick Nash was the one sole shining light for this franchise. Yes. So, right. Yes, agree wholeheartedly here.
I mean, yeah. So he convinced Atlanta's Don Waddell, who I think was at 1, to go to 2. He convinced Florida GM Rick Dudley, who was at 2, to go to 3. They still got Kari Lehtinen, the goalie in Atlanta. Jay Bouwmeester fell to Florida. And Doug McLean got Rick Nash at 1. Now, the question was, well, if those guys wanted Lehtinen and Bouwmeester so badly, why didn't you just stay at 3 and get him.
Right.
And so that was part of the sell with Doug, was that he could convince them, I'm going to get him anyways at three. Just let me go up to get him at one. He wanted to make sure nobody else could move in there because he wanted Nash that badly. But it's brilliant. It's brilliant. And I don't think in a million years you could do it today.
For sure.
The GM would say, listen, I know you want your guy. I know I can still get my guy where I want him, but I'm getting something for you moving up from three to one. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, and in that draft, they took Lindstrom in the second round. Trevor Daley, Duncan Keith, Matt Stajan, still on the board. But again, Duncan Keith's obviously a hell of a player. He's had a great career. You have those in any draft. Still think 2002 was a hell of a pick. Let's do one more misery, then we'll take a break. So we're splitting this right down the middle, and you can sort of – you might need some time to recuperate from this next one. Allison, this is number 18, so the third worst of the Blue Jackets draft. 2003, a can't-miss draft, and the Blue Jackets missed badly. They got four NHL players out of that draft. Nikolaj Zverev, Dan Fritchie, Philippe Dupuis, and Mark Mathot. And nothing against Mathot, but he's the guy who had the longest NHL career of that group. Zverev had a fascinating time in Columbus, just absolutely seeped incredible talent, and it was one of the most exciting players this franchise has ever had in terms of bring you out of the seat. But he could not get it together off the ice. They ended up trading him. Pretty good trade. Fedor Tuten, among others. Dan Fritchie had a decent career as a checking line bottom six grinder. Philippe Dupuis played most of his games away from Columbus. But this is what makes it so painful. Zverev played 400-some games in the NHL. There have been worse busts than that. But the players who went just within 10 picks of Zverev. So these guys were on the board. And it's easy to go round after round and find the best player. These guys were all right there in the conversation. Thomas Vanek, Ryan Suter, Dion Phaneuf, Jeff Carter, Dustin Brown, Brent Seabrook. I could go on. Those are just the guys within 10 picks of Zverev. And this draft was loaded, Allison, where Doug McLean and others used to defend themselves against the players they took in this draft by saying lots of people passed on Shea Weber.
Right.
And you'd say, well, yeah, Doug, but Anaheim passed on him twice. But they took Ryan Getzlaff and Corey Perry with those picks. That totally changed the organization.
Right.
With when the Blue Jackets took Fritchie, Shea Weber's on the board. Corey Crawford's on the board. David Backes is on the board. This is one of those drafts. If you just go back and look at the 2003 draft, it's staggering the amount of talent. Their generation is almost over now. It's 17 years after that draft. But the amount of talent in that draft pool is staggering. And the Blue Jackets, again, came up empty in one of the great drafts this league has ever seen.
True story. I have nothing to add.
Yeah. And you think about how many years this ate them alive, right? I mean, Dustin Brown for a decade plus is a great player in Los Angeles. Ryan Suter's had an incredible career in Nashville and in Minnesota. Just one of these guys, right? Brent Seabrook and Duncan Keith. The Blackhawks got Keith and Seabrook in this draft. Like, that's their defense for two cups, three cups, and a decade on the ice. This is really why that first decade of in Columbus, this draft almost by itself could have changed the first draft in Columbus. And as much as we say the 05 draft is probably what led to McLean's firing 2 years later, this is why it was even a consideration then, because they came up so empty. And Ryan Kesler, of course, from Ohio State, was in that draft. Blue Jackets weren't big fans of Ryan Kesler. Liked him, liked his game, didn't think he was a first-round talent, and he just went on to play 1,000 games and have 258 goals. So strike three. Let's take a break. Let's just soak that one in a little bit. We'll come back with some happy news on the other side of this.
Hey, this is Craig Custis with The Athletic. Maybe you were blessed with a body that you can just pull clothes off the rack and they fit perfectly. But if you're anything like me, every shirt I buy, the arms are too long. Every pair of pants I buy, the legs are too long. I don't have the time or the money really to go and get everything I buy tailored perfectly. So I end up looking like a frumpy sports writer half the time, which isn't great. And I wish it wasn't the case. But the times when I do take the time to buy the things that fit right, you just feel better, right? You're confident. You walk into a room. You don't feel like you're wearing your dad's clothes because the sleeves are down over your hands. And that's what makes Indochino so great. Indochino suits are great for wedding and for work. And they offer a lot of casual options like shirts, coats, and chinos. And right now, honestly, like that's what I find myself most attracted to. Like I recently made a purchase there. Even if like 80% of the press conferences or whatever I'm doing in Zoom, you still want to look good. You still want to be professional. You still want things to fit and feel good about yourself. And the way it works is I booked some time with a virtual style consultation and took it step by step. And I was even able to personalize it. The dress shirt threw my initials on there, from the stitching to the collar to what kind of material you want on the inside flap. There's so many ways to personalize it. So with Indochino, you get custom fitted suits, coats, and casual wear at surprisingly affordable prices. And if you are getting married, Indochino is an absolute no-brainer for you and your groomsmen. Forget the off-the-rack suits that don't fit different body types. Indochino gives everybody a tailored fit. You order with ease, you get it shipped fast, no matter where you live. And with all the ways to customize, you can add a personal touch everyone will be proud to wear without emptying their pockets. The best part, Indochino suits start at just $299 with all customizations included. Visit one of Indochino's showrooms across North America or book a virtual appointment and shop online at Indochino.com. And right now, you'll get $30 off any purchase of $399 or more when you enter the code Craig, C-R-A-I-G, at checkout. That's Indochino.com, promo code Craig, to get $30 off any purchase of $399 or more. Hey, this is Craig Custance with The Athletic. My family has, I would say, a healthy obsession with water and water bottles. And we all have our own personal, like, giant thing of water that we carry around. My daughter has a, you know, one of those daily planners, and it has check marks for how much water they're drinking. Because we know when you don't get enough water and you're dehydrated, you feel lethargic, you don't feel good. It makes a big difference in your day. And with Liquid IV, you have the fastest, most efficient way to stay hydrated. We're big fans of Liquid IV in our family. When you drink Liquid IV, you have more energetic workouts, you sleep better, but it's better for your immunity, which is super important right now. You just have more energy. So Liquid IV is available nationwide at Costco and Target, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code ATHLETIC at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you use promo code ATHLETIC at liquidiv.com. Get better hydration today at liquidiv.com, promo code ATHLETIC.
All right, welcome back. We're going to get to now what is, in my mind, the third best draft in Blue Jackets history. I'm calling it Brass Bonanza because he's the guy that went first. This one might take some explaining, and I'll get your thoughts first, Allison. If you think this one is a little high, but the Blue Jackets got Brassard, Mason, Sestito, and Derek Dorsett out of this group. I think it's their third best draft. Where do you come in?
It's definitely up there. I think that, because what's hard here is if you look at these players, part of the problem with these players not being massive successes in Columbus specifically is that they were mismanaged in terms of how quickly they were brought up to the NHL level, in my opinion, before they were ready and that kind of, and then we had all kinds of issues with agents and illness and social media and this and that and the other thing. But no, this was particularly in that dearth of those first years. This was a solid draft. You got players who played for your organization. You had Steve Mason, who was a huge part of that first ever playoff run, if we're calling it that, but playoff appearance.
Right.
And you know, I think it was these players were hope for Columbus, and you know, fans loved Sestito, loved Dorsett. Brass is still playing. Kudos to him. So, yeah, this is a good one.
Yeah. It's a good one because I think held up against the draft itself, it's not – it wasn't a great draft.
Right.
And they got – I remember how well Derek Brassard was playing in – was it 08, 09 where he was leading rookie – NHL rookies in scoring. It was on almost a point a game clip before he messed up his shoulder. And Steve Mason's a name that generates a response in Columbus today based upon his last few years in Columbus. But you can't take away the fact that that's one of the great seasons a goaltender's ever had in Columbus.
And Calder winning.
Sergei Bobrovsky's, absolutely. Yeah. Carried them to the playoffs, let's be honest. You look at that roster.
With mono. He had mono, remember?
It was incredible, yeah. I remember the game in Washington where he almost didn't get off the training table the entire afternoon because he had such back spasms. And the Blue Jackets had like 9 guys out of the lineup. And he came off the table, played, and made something stupid, like 46 saves, and they shut out Washington when they had no business hanging with Washington. They literally, it was worse than this year where they had sickness and injury go through the team. He was incredible that year. First ever playoff game or playoff appearance for the Blue Jackets. As you said, it was more of a dash than a run.
Yes.
It was over quickly against Detroit. And to get Derek Dorsett in the 7th round, that's a lot of games and a lot of standing ovations for a 7th round draft pick.
Yes.
Interesting about that draft is the Blue Jackets. If you've ever read Garrett Joyce's great book about the Blue Jackets.
Future Greats and Heartbreaks. Read it.
Yeah. They loved Phil Kessel.
Yep.
They loved Phil Kessel's game more than they loved Phil Kessel. And if I would have, it'd be fascinating to see what would have happened in that draft had Kessel not been taken 5 by Boston, because the Columbus would have had a really tough decision. Some guys like Kessel, I think they all thought he was more NHL ready than was Brassard. But you know, and he's had a great career. Kessel has
for sure.
He's moved around a bit, but he's had a great career. Okay, Allison, we go back to the bottom of the pile. This would be the 4th worst Columbus Blue Jackets draft. 2001. Sad that it happened. It was their second draft as an organization. They did not land, like, once again. So this is the this is another draft where they did not land a single impact player despite having 11 picks. They took Pascal Leclaire in the first round. That in itself was an odd pick because a year earlier they traded a second-round draft pick to get Marc Denis. Now, I'm all about commodities. And it's smart if you think Leclaire is special and you don't really need anything for your team or your immediate depth chart, go for it. They needed things. They needed a lot at that stage of their development. To take a commodity was a strange pick at that point. And, of course, Allison, Pascal Leclaire had a star-crossed career in the NHL.
Yes. Again, the bad drafts are many in this time period. So, in my opinion,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Tim Jackman came out of that draft. He played more games away from Columbus than he did in Columbus. Aaron Johnson was a journeyman for a long time. Really, really good friends with Rick Nash.
I was just gonna say one of Rick Nash's best friends.
Yeah, they were like almost like Wenberg and Carlson, inseparable. And one of my favorite guys, Andrew Murray, great guy, there's a couple of funny stories with Andrew Murray. He got called up from the minors. And this would have been before Cleveland, so I'm not sure how the hell his car would have been here. But he drove and was driving to the rink in like, it was like a 1986 Chevy or something. It was beat to hell. And he wasn't making a ton of money. And the other guys in the room were having a blast talking about his car. And I made a note of it in the notebook in the Columbus Dispatch. And the next day, Murray gets called in, gets a phone call from some local car dealer who makes him a sweetheart deal. And he gets a sweet ride out of it. I'm thinking, hey, Murr, like, you know, what do you got here, bud? Nothing to the scribe. I couldn't have taken anything anyways.
I was going
to
say.
But he had a nice pickup truck. He moved up in the world pretty quickly. And also, Andrew Murray was a huge, Ken Hitchcock was a huge Andrew Murray fan. Why, Allison?
Oh, I don't remember. Why?
The big kid.
Oh,
heavy player.
Heavy.
Heavy player, heavy stick. One of Hitch's great moments. So a little inside baseball here, but Tom Reed, you all remember Tom. Hi, Tom. When we covered the beat together, it gets a little mundane some days. We would each pick a favorite Hitch word, and the person who guessed the word that Hitch said first would win, I don't know, would get lunch or something. And Tom's word was heavy. And he asked him an Andrew Murray question, and Hitch said, heavy player, heavy stick. And in the middle of the interview, Tom turns around to me and says, double word score. To which Hitch went, what are you guys talking about? Anyways, Andrew Murray. That's a rough draft. Once again, they pass on a local product, RJ Umberger's on the board. He went to Vancouver at 16, and they got really, I mean, LeClair had one decent season in Columbus, had tons of injuries. They did turn him into Antoine Vermette, which was an awesome trade by Scott Housen. But not a great draft. We're going back to the happy side of the draft here. Let me just recap. The 2015 draft was deemed the best draft. Werenski, Gavrikov, Nudavara. The 2002 draft, in which they traded up from 3-1 to get Rick Nash, has been deemed the second best. And the 2006 draft with Derek Brassard going in the first round has been deemed the third best. The fourth best here is one of the great draft stories in Blue Jackets history.
Oh.
They drafted Ryan Murray, Jonas Korpisalo, and Josh Anderson. That's pretty damn good, Allison.
Yes, but the drama. It's the one year that the team, you know, I mentioned they didn't always have luck getting top picks, which is how you get elite talent. And they finally have a terrible season. They seem to be shoo-ins for the top first overall pick. They lose it to who else but Edmonton.
Right.
Now, granted, the organization has repeatedly said that Murray would have been their pick regardless.
Yes, I believe them.
Sure, but at the time, it was just another dagger. And furthermore, a year when they are so high up, and everyone knows I love Ryan Murray's game, but this was not a great draft. So
No. And when they lost the lottery, you're like, oh my God, crushing blow. I think in hindsight, and that's unfair because they were the worst team in the league by a mile that
year.
Yes. But in hindsight, because the draft was so bad and because Edmonton made the worst possible pick at one, Neil Yakupov, it doesn't ultimately really matter. The Blue Jackets, we've said this many times, I've been told numerous times, would not have taken Yakupov even if he fell to two.
Right.
Now, I don't know who they would have taken if Murray went first. Galchenyuk was there. Morgan Riley, Hampus Lindholm, Jacob Trouba. Some pretty good players there, although at the time it was seen as Yakupov and Murray. Here's the really interesting thing, though. Not long before the draft, the Islanders reach Scott Housen, and Garth Snow goes Mike Ditka and offers him
every single pick. Yep.
All of the Islanders' picks for the number two. So if the Blue Jackets would have taken that trade, they would have had the following picks. It's crazy. 4, 31, 34, 62, 65, 95, 103, 125, 152, 155, 182, 185. And you know what? I wouldn't do it. I still wouldn't do it. I think it was the right call.
Okay. Why?
Do you agree? Well, the draft is awful. If you go back and look at that
I said it was awful.
It's awful. And you have almost a hard time finding somebody, even in the 62 to 103 range, where you're like, oh, you'd love to have that guy. It was a bad draft.
Yeah, it was. But if you look, if you look at the way that teams evaluate drafts, I mean, and I'd have to go back and look at the valuation chart, but was the value of the picks was what was the better deal on paper? I don't know. But it was that's the whole irony of this year, is that it was just a shitty draft. So
yeah. And Garth Snow, I'm sure, took that into account when he was like, we don't want any of these effing guys. Take all my picks. The one thing you can say, and you're right, I think, with this, is if the Blue Jackets had traded out of two, they would have had four. And Murray's gone. Yakupov's gone. Maybe they take Morgan Riley. Right? And I think you'd rather have Morgan Riley than Ryan Murray just because of his health.
Well, but see that.
Maybe you take.
That goes back to your point, though, of at the draft, like Ryan Murray is still the better player. He's still the better player.
He is.
So
he is. Would you trade Murray for Riley right now?
I don't think I would, actually.
I would.
Okay.
I would. Just because of the health. Not because you get 50 games a year.
I hear you.
Okay, so back to the misery end. And just to recap, we have deemed the worst draft in Blue Jackets history to be 2004, when they got basically no NHLers out of 12 picks. The second worst, believe it or not, is when they missed. Allison thinks this is the worst one. She may have a point. When they took Brulé instead of Kopitar. Third was the year they took Zhirdev and Fritchie, and they could have had, oh God, the players they could have had. Oh, the generational players and borderline Hall of Famers they could have had. And then the fourth worst was Pascal Leclerc draft in 01, when they really didn't need a goalie for the next several years. And sadly, here's the fifth worst one. It was the first one they ever had. And part of it wasn't their luck. It wasn't their fault. They lose a coin flip to the Minnesota Wild, which allows the Minnesota Wild to pick third. Columbus picks fourth. And that was a three-player at the top draft. And Allison, tell me the difference between then, 2000, Marian Gaborik and Rostislav Klesla.
Oh, I mean, game-changing abilities with Marian Gaborik, no question.
Right, right. And so that's kind of a kick in the teeth right out of the bat. They took 11 players, and really the only player who had a meaningful career was Rusty Klesla. Can you put Rusty was the first draft pick in franchise history.
Yep.
Tell me what you remember about Rusty. I think he sometimes is unfairly maligned. He was a pretty good player, a solid player. Allison, your thoughts on the great Rusty Klesla?
Yeah, I mean, and towards the end, I mean, we just talked about Ryan Murray. I mean, there was injuries more than anything else. Right. But this was a guy too who indeed. I mean, it's funny because this is, I actually have an homage to this somewhere in my life that it's kind of interesting to see people who get it and people who don't. I'm not going to tell you where it is, but he would end every interview with ringside reporter Jim Day by saying, "Thank you, Jim Day. It was glorious. It was just wonderful. It was just wonderful."
Yeah. Oh, Rusty. And you know what? I'm trying to get a hold of Rusty because he's coming out of retirement to play a game for his hometown team.
I talked to him.
I don't know why, but
I talked to him 2 years ago.
Yeah, we've been trading emails, but we haven't linked up. Who could the Blue Jackets have taken there instead of Rusty Klesla? This one hurts a little bit because he got here eventually, but Scott Hartnell was on the board when they took Klesla. Now, to take Hartnell instead of Klesla would have been, ouch, at the draft. It would have raised a lot of eyebrows. And I don't know where the Blue Jackets had Hartnell on their list. Was not a great skater at any point in his career. That was a concern even back then. One thing, too, is the Blue Jackets were high on goaltender Brent Kron. So if you want to lament that they took Rostislav Klesla instead of Scott Hartnell, be thankful they took Klesla instead of Brent Kron. Kron played one game in the NHL.
Yeah. Scott Hartnell, when he was here, I mean, Scott Hartnell is the epitome of a Blue Jacket. So that, I think that would have worked out actually quite well. But
yeah, he had a great career.
Yeah.
Great career. So ends the misery. Now we have one more to go, and this is the fifth best draft in Blue Jackets history, and it's a recent one.
Okay.
It's 2016.
Yep.
Buffalo, New York.
Yep.
There are three players in this draft, Allison. Everyone knows they're going to go one, two, three.
This was a blast. This was so
it's
much
just
fun.
A matter of which number they're going to go, which sequence. Auston Matthews, Patrick Laine, and Jesse Puljujarvi. Those are the three best players. No way anybody goes in any of those spots except for those three. And then who steps up to the stage and busts up that theory but Jarmo Kekäläinen? Who announced it? Wasn't it
Ville? I thought it was Ville.
Was it Ville Sirin?
I think, well, we can look it up. I think it was Ville who did it.
Yeah.
The Columbus Blue Jackets select. Let me look.
Right.
And you forgot to add to the drama too that everyone was convinced that the Blue Jackets were going to take the Finn because Jarmo's Finnish.
Of course. Yes. Right. Draft. And they take Dubois. I've had a hard time capturing the sound in the crowd that day.
Oh, it was fantastic.
It was. Yeah, there were boos in there for sure, especially like 5 seconds later. But there were audible gasps that took Pierre-Luc Dubois instead of Jesse Puljujärvi.
Yeah.
And I remember the guys on TSN were like, whoa, there it is. Like, holy smokes, because now the draft is really interesting. That took some, you know what, that's what GMs are supposed to do, but it still takes courage. And I've thought this many times. It would have been really easy for Jarmo to take his fellow countryman, Jesse Puljujärvi, and nobody would have faulted him because that's the guy that everybody thought should go three. But he listened to his scouts.
Yep.
And he followed the guidance of his scouts. Now, he obviously liked what he saw in Dubois as well. But you go back to the draft about Kopitar, and that's why, you know, the GM takes the bullets if the scouts are wrong. But you put in place a method for what you value in players, and it's the scout's job to tell you who that is. And you listen to them. And I have full marks for Kekäläinen. A, they got it right. But B, he went up on that stage, and he made that pick, as he should have. But it still takes guts, and he got the response he did. That response has fueled Pierre-Luc Dubois to this day.
Yep.
How much of that do you agree with, or all of it else?
I can confirm that it was Ville who made the pick. I looked up the video here. As I think about this now, I might actually move this draft above. I might make 12 number three, make this draft number four, and make 06 number five is my new reorder.
Interesting.
There. Because I think when we, again, I understand why you did this order and how you were weighting it. But I think, again, from the impact player and this team needing impact players, Pierre-Luc Dubois is looking to be sure like one of them. And the drama of it is spectacular.
Spectacular.
And PL has told us that, you know, when he's got some tweets saved and he's got some other posts on social media saved that he has up as motivation to continue to be the player he can be. And while not talked about yet, I am high on Andrew Peak, another player from this draft. And I think he can be an NHL defenseman. And so I think that's almost gravy at this point. But I'm moving this draft up in my personal rankings.
Yeah. And so let me just say two things that kind of held it back a little bit. We don't know about Peak yet, although he looks like he's going to be a hell of a player.
Sure.
I think he's going to be a really good player. The other thing too, and this is, this might be sacrilegious in these parts. I'm glad we're not sitting next to each other. I might wheel back to.
Here we go.
Contact.
Just say it.
It took guts to take Dubois at three.
Okay.
You could argue that Matthew Tkachuk's been the second best player in the draft.
Oh, here we go.
No, I mean, if you want to give them credit for going off board.
Yes.
Should we consider that at all? Because Tkachuk's a hell of a player. I know it's easy to dislike him for fans, but he's a hell of a player who has transformed an organization a bit.
I still take Dubois, though.
He's a centerman.
Yep.
He's a cinnamon. Yeah, the boos, the gasp, the groans.
It was wonderful.
It was quite a welcome to the NHL moment for Pierre-Luc Dubois. But the draft is great. And this year's draft is coming up. I believe it's October 6th and 7th.
Correct.
I've been working this week stories that we'll publish at the draft. Blue Jackets fans will be interested to know. We're all getting old, by the way. Jeff Sanderson's son, Jake Sanderson, a defenseman. He used to run around the dressing room when he was 2 years old. He is likely a top 10 pick this year. It will surprise no one that he's a great skater.
Right.
And I don't know if this is, well, it's public knowledge on the podcast. The whole family are Blue Jackets fans, which is awesome.
We should get Sanderson him on the podcast.
Sanderson played for like 11 different teams.
Well.
Yeah, Jeff Sanderson, one of the great Blue Jackets players, great skater. And his son, Jake, is a really talented young player heading to North Dakota, but it's going to be an NHL guy soon enough. And another NHL connection in this year's draft, Liam Foodie's brother.
Yep.
Jean-Luc Foodie will be drafted maybe late first, early second. It could be a surprise there. But this year's draft, I feel for these kids, just like so many other things this time of the global pandemic. They're not going to get the walk across the stage moment, put the sweater on, shake hands, pose for that picture moment, because it's going to be done virtually. But it should be exciting just the same. Allison, thanks so much for your time.
Always.
We went through the five best and the five worst Blue Jackets draft. You can see all of those spelled out, plus the mushy middle, if you want. That story was posted yesterday. Just look for it on the athletic.com website. Thanks so much for listening, and we will be back with you next week. Take care.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.